Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 187, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, in tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. And what follows, 187, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 4, the verses 1 through 22. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 4, the first 22 verses. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name, have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy mercy that once more on the Sabbath day that we and our children may come up to thy house. And then by renewal then we attempt to open our unclean lips and to approach unto thee, who art so holy and so majestic, but also so good-doing and faithful. And then we may come unto thee with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, and with our sins. And then it is necessary that thou granteth the deep impression of each of those matters. Oh, thy blessings, they cannot be enumerated and they cannot be comprehended. Where thou granteth unto us and our children so many blessings above our fellow travelers, and then it is necessary that we receive eyes to see it, a heart to be humbled thereunder, and a tongue to praise thee, Lord. To that end we need thy Spirit. Then it is also so necessary that we may have the right impression of our manifold needs. And the temporal needs, they are great, they are manifold, the cares for this temporal life. But we shall all come through this life. Then it is so indispensable that we may have a deep impression of our spiritual needs, and that we need to be born again. Lord, then we come unto thee with our desires, all concerning evil and wrong desires. Then it is so necessary to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, wilt thou also grant those upright desires for thee and thy service, that by thy grace that we may hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, heaven, a deep impression of our sins, which are great and manifold, and, oh, Lord, if they have not been blotted out in the blood of thy dear Son, then they are still in all on our account. Oh, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly, that there may be that hatred and fleeing of sin, a repentance from our sin, and a fleeing to that fountain that is open for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how that each and every one, from the youngest child to the oldest one in our midst, have come up to thy house. And may it not have all been form and duty, and when it is so, that does not stand thee in the way. But may there have souls come up with a cry and with a sigh, with a desire for thee, the living God, and to be washed and cleansed from all their sins. Lord, may it please thee to bless thy holy word to that end. Grant not only ears to hear and a mind to understand, but also hearts to perceive. May it please thee to convert sinners in this very hour, among young and old. Spare us, that we build not upon sandy foundation. Oh, we have heard it out of thy holy word, that there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the precious name of Jesus. Ah, may there be no rest outside of that only name. Wilt thou remember thy children to that end, Lord? Remember consistory and congregation. Bless the many means of grace in the church, in the family circles. Then by renewal, then we commend unto thee those little children that have received the sign and the seal of the covenant. Wilt thou remember the parents with the oath which they have made? Oh, do grant them the tender fear of the Lord. We remember thy church all over the earth. Wilt thou remember the established churches? Remember our denomination. Remember the theological school. Wilt thou remember the students? Also, when they may speak an edifying word, wilt thou be their helper ever near, and may thy word bear much fruit. Wilt thou uphold and comfort the persecuted church in their troubles and their distresses. May they be given to look unto the King of the church, who has declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth." Wilt thou remember the beloved for the Father's sake? Wilt thou remember all mission work, our mission field, thy servants and the team? Wilt thou grant an administrator and a church worker? We remember the nations of the earth, also our nation, our province, with those in high authority. Wilt thou grant an acknowledgement that thou art the King over everything, and that thou reignest, and that thou rulest, and that nothing can avail without thy divine blessing? Oh, grant yet also unto our country that there may be a turning from our evil ways. Lord, remember all our temporal needs. We remember the needs in the realm of nature. We may thank thee for the refreshing showers which thou hast given And may our eyes continually be upon thee. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything. O wilt thou remember man and beast in the summer weather. O we remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other ones to the cemetery. Oh, may the callings be sanctified. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember those in the care home, with those that may lovingly care for them, with all other elderly ones in the evening of their life. O wilt thou remember the sick and afflicted ones. O wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening to the mother that had surgery in the past week. O wilt thou be mindful of all those that are under the physician's care. We remember the handicapped ones with their difficulties of body and mind, O Lord. Do remember them for the time above all. Wilt thou save their never-dying souls? Remember the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou remember the family circles may love abound? When it is not so, wilt thou grant a bowing of the knees and a searching of thy word? What has been separated, bring it together. Remember the young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. Wilt thou help them with all the preparations, and may they be given to bow their knees and to humbly ask thee that thou may go with them, that it may not only be a marriage in thy providence, but also a marriage in thy divine favor for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Lord, we remember prodigal sons and daughters that are wandering upon the earth or under another religion. There is nothing impossible for thee, but, O Lord, do keep us under thy truth, where thou art exalted to the highest and man abased to the lowest. And now, Lord, thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee. Also in this evening hour, may it please thee to send help from the sanctuary and to strengthen out of Zion, and that with a little liberty and joy we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. May thy word go forth with power divine, graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, O Lord. May it then please thee to look down upon us poor sinners and the Son of thine eternal love, in whom thou art well pleased, that is our only hope and our only expectation. We have nothing to plead upon of self. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 140, the fourth stanza. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. A plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now, and what follows. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 11, the question and answers 29 and 30. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Answer, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise, because we ought not to seek and neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds, they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Lord's Day number 11 speaks of Jesus, the personal name of the mediator, with three thoughts. First, a saving name. Secondly, a despised name. And thirdly, an only name. Jesus, the personal name of the mediator. A saving name, a despised name, and an only name. This first, a saving name. Beloved congregation, we read over this Lord's Day as title of God the Son. And Lord's Day number 9 and 10, then we have considered God the Father. And thus now in Lord's Day number 11, we come to God the Son. Then how valuable this Lord's Day becomes for a people that have paid close attention and have experienced something of Lord's Day number 9 and 10. Because then we have heard of God's creation ascribed especially to the Father. Then we have also heard of his divine providence. You know, boys and girls, what that is, that the Lord upholds the whole world and everything that therein is, and that he governs everything to a certain end. And then we have heard in the last question in Lord's Day number 10, what advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence does still uphold all things? And then we have heard three special points. To be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and to trust the Lord in the future for all things. And how has it now been with that Lord's Day? Have there went a few people home, maybe more, that you have heard how guilty that we are? A few blessings withheld, and we are so quick to murmur and to complain. And concerning all the blessings, we take it so for granted, we find it so normal, no broken heart, and to trust in the future, then we have heard how guilty we are. And to that end, the necessity of Lord's Day number 11, where there is spoken of a Savior who can save to the uttermost. Then in this evening, because in the Lord's Days 11 through 13, there are spoken of different names of the mediator, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, In this evening, it is the name Jesus. In the scriptures, there are approximately 200 names ascribed to the mediator. The families come home and the children are a little older. Then you have something to speak about. And then you can see how many can come to your mind of those names. And now concerning the mediator, the older ones, of course, know it, the catechism students, and hopefully all fathers and mothers. But now if the children listen well, then you can also tell your parents the five ways in which the mediator must be known. And I think that you remember what a mediator is. That is one who stands between two parties that are so far apart, and that he brings them together. There's five ways, boys and girls. The first, in his names. Secondly, in his natures, human and divine. Thirdly, in his offices, prophet, priest, and king. Fourthly, in his states, in the states of his humiliation, and the states of his exaltation. And fifthly, in his benefits. Do you think you can remember it, boys and girls? Then you can tell your parents, and what you have forgotten, they can fill in. And now, profitable, necessary, that we and our children, that we know the truth according to the scriptures. But now it is so necessary that we may experience those precious things, that we and our children may be saved. When we speak of the personal name, Christ is his official name, we shall try to make it simple for our children. When we think of a king, let us think of King Nebuchadnezzar. Two names, King and Nebuchadnezzar. King, that is the title of that person, his office, which he may fulfill. But Nebuchadnezzar, that is his personal name. And now in this evening hour, then we are called upon to consider the personal name of the mediator, and that is Jesus. That name has been given by the Father. The angel has proclaimed it to Gabriel in Luke 1, and also to Joseph in Matthew 1. And that name, Jesus, Reverend Hellenbroek, it means Savior. And then Reverend Hellenbroek has given that beautiful description, that a Savior, that is to deliver a person from the greatest evil and make him a partaker of the supreme good. Thus, a Jesus sinners, he has come to save. And now the question, congregation, is, are you a sinner? Oh, with our mind, we know it. But have we now, by the grace of God, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, have we now become a true sinner? Oh, let me ask you, have you now learned to weep those bitter tears because of your sins that grieve such a holy, such a majestic, and such a good-doing God? Oh, let me ask you, have you learned to forsake, to hate, and forsake your sins? Have your sins, have they become more bitter than death? Because Jesus, sinners, he has come to save. But young and old, we need to become the sinner by the grace of God, because otherwise, then we must say with the Pontius Pilate in Matthew 27, verse 22, what must they do with Jesus? If we have no sin, of course, we all have sin. But if we never truly have learned our sinnership, do I not read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need the physician, but they that are sick, thus a Savior. This written in the Bible, there shall also come many antichrists, many saviors in the world that promise beautiful things to deliver us from the consequence of sin, but not from sin itself. Oh, if we think of all the promises of the nations, think of Revelation 13, of that beast that has come out of the sea, and then he has done great wonders, also the beast out of the earth, but only promises and promises that they are not even able to fulfill. Ah, there are many upon the world that try to drown the consequences by substance abuse. May we be spared from the same. May it become our concern by the work of the Holy Spirit, our sin. Because Reverend Hellenbrook, a Savior, that is one that delivers from the greatest evil. What is the greatest evil in your life, congregation? And there are many evils, many cares. Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But what is now our greatest evil? The greatest evil upon the world, that is sin, has entered in paradise. When our first parents have taken of that forbidden fruit and have plunged themselves with the whole posterity in the greatest evil. Thus the greatest evil is our sin, our misery, and what else? Ah, that by nature, that we are not so troubled with it. So long as we receive many blessings in this time, and we are a little happy, then we are not so worried about our misery. And what about eternity? What about eternity? Young and old, what shall you do with your sins? When the Lord sends the angel of death and calls you to appear before your Maker, what shall you then do with your sins? Do you think about those things? Do you bring it on your knees? Ah, have you learned to cry unto the Lord? Thus, our greatest misery, no true impression, and impossible to deliver ourselves. Ephesians 2 verse 1, dead in sins and trespasses. How great, how deep, how profound, how unfathomable is the misery of man, that they are lying under the curse and under the wrath of a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is a Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. What a work that Jesus had to perform, that sinners may be saved. He had to leave the heavens, called upon to assume our human nature, and then it was necessary, his active obedience and his passive obedience, that he would perfectly obey the law, and secondly, that he would suffer and die Ah, Jesus, the Son of God, has saved this people with the glorification of all the attributes of his Father. He has satisfied justice because he has suffered and he has died. He has harmonized those divine attributes that the chiefest of sinners, that they may be saved, thus of active and passive obedience. O Jesus, he had to merit salvation, but he also applied salvation. Then we hear, congregation, that he is such a full and an all-sufficient Savior. Do we not read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that he saveth to the uttermost? Do we not hear Paul write to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus, a sinner he came to save. Have we become a sinner, congregation? Have we now become a sinner? Boys and girls, do you ever cry because of your sins? Young people, middle-aged, or are we too busy? Too busy to think of those things? Are you maybe even too busy to die? But when the angel of death is sent, then it shall not be asked whether we have time or whether we are ready, but then we are called to appear before the judge. Oh, Jesus, sinners, he came to save. Are there now a few sinners in my midst, so burdened? That you have learned to weep, that you have learned to cry, that you have tasted of the exceeding bitterness of sin. Then what a precious Lord's Day. Then it is declared that Jesus, that his name is Savior, to deliver from the greatest evil and to bring to that supreme good. But now our instructors, they mention two words. Because he saveth us and delivereth us. Thus not only to save from punishment, but also to be delivered. And that makes a separation, describes the true people of God. Because for the true people of God, not only to go to heaven goes about, but it goes about the God in the heavens. And not only to be saved from punishment, but they need to be delivered. Oh, in the moment of regeneration, then they are delivered from their death state. Then those dry bones, they may be given to live. That is that wonderful, that astonishing and supernatural work wrought by the Holy Spirit in the moment of regeneration. That is the wonderful work of free and sovereign grace. Therefore, it is possible for us and our children. But I read in Ezekiel 36, verse 37, that the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. That people need to be delivered from the power of the devil. They need to be delivered, and not only from the guilt and the punishment at the end that we all desire, but that people also needs to be delivered from the power and the dominion of sin. Then I hear a soul say, but then I am afraid that it is not yet right. Then it must not be the true work of the Lord. Oh, there was a time that I thought that I had won some battles over this sin and that temptation. But oh, at the moment, it seems no power against all those enemies. It seems that I have no strength. But are we now happy or are we troubled? Oh, where does it bring us? Does it bring us on our knees and say, "Ach, Lord, I thought, oh, in the beginning there can be so much warfare in our own strength." Do you know what souls need to learn? That they need this precious name, the name of Jesus. And that warfare further declared in the next Lord's Day concerning that precious name of Christ, but that they are given to war in His strength. Ah, that people, they need and desire to be delivered from the power, the dominion, and the love to sin. And that is now the wonderful work of Jesus. It is true. Justification is perfect. Sanctification, that is only in part. Thus the precious name of Jesus, Jesus, sinners He came to save. Have we now become a sinner? And now in our second thought, then that is a further examination. A despised name. Then the instructors have immediately added, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other, because we ought not to seek. Then the instructors are implying that we ought to seek to be saved. How is that with us? Are we seeking? What are we seeking? Or are we so busy with the world that we believe that we shall find a perfect satisfaction? We have said the world, they promise much, but they cannot give it. We ought to seek. Have we begun to seek, congregation? Have we become a seeker? A seeker of the Lord. A seeker of righteousness. Those seekers, they are described in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the verses 3 through 12. What is the most important? Are we seeking the Lord? I read in Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near." We shall not always have a seeking time. When is the best time to seek the Lord, boys and girls, young people? When is the best time? You know the answer, right? When is the best time? Then you shall say, when we are young. Have you begun? Have you begun to cry after the Lord? Then we need to ask for the work of the Holy Spirit. And I even read in Proverbs 8, verse 17, "Those that seek me early, they shall find me." When we read the Bible, we do not read of one true seeker that has not become a finder in congregation. When that seeking already is so sweet. Walford Floyd, in a sermon, he has stated it. If that seeking already is so sweet, what shall that finding be? When the sinner, burdened with his debt, when he may discover that pearl of great price. As I read in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, do we not read in the Song of Solomon in chapter 1, verse 3, that His name is as ointment poured forth, therefore the virgins love Thee? And then we would thank those seekers that they would immediately, that they would go to Jesus to be saved and delivered from all their sins. How is it, souls? Where and how are you seeking? Oh, when the Lord, when he converts us, then we have to do what the justice of God must be satisfied. Then we learn that through our sins that we grieve that majestic, that just, and good-doing God. And then we shall do everything in our strength that the Lord may be satisfied. But now the instructors, we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. And then in question 30, for a further examination and deeper discovery, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior? When the Lord begins, then we have no distinguishing knowledge of the persons in the Trinity. Then we have to do with the Lord. He becomes real, becomes precious, becomes adorable. We are given to seek him. We have heard it from Lord's Day number 8 concerning the Trinity. Because that there is a Trinity, there is a way for us and our children to be saved. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else. Is that now a necessary Lord's Day for us and our children? What do you think, congregation? In the time of the Reformation, then we can understand that it was very necessary because the Roman Catholics, but they were seeking. Time of the Reformation, there were Roman Catholics that have given their last money to the church that the souls of the deceased would be delivered from purgatory. Roman Catholics that were sincere, that knew they need to be saved, an impression that they were lost. It's true. They were deceived, misguided. But of course, in that time, the Lord still had a remnant. Oh, there were souls that were taught by the Holy Spirit. Think of a Martin Luther. Oh, concerning this Lord's Day, if there was a saint, a man that has learned this Lord's Day, that it was only through Jesus that he could be saved, a man who has learned that the saints could not help, because it was told in the church that there were certain saints that through their prayers, and that they even had extra good works that they could give to other saints, the Roman Catholics. Does that still happen? That souls seek their salvation with the saints. Laying of hands upon. A good thought of the church, a child of God, can be arresting, but if it is the true work, then the Lord shall take it all away, because it is the Spirit's work to glorify the precious name of Jesus in the heart of his people. Thus, saints themselves. Are there souls that understand it? Of themselves, that we may be saved. Let me ask you, have you tried it? If you have never tried it, you shall not know it, congregation. These things, this Lord's Day, that is learned in the way of experience. Because that precious name of Jesus is so hidden for the soul, must all be revealed. But those seeking souls has become a matter of utmost importance. They have learned that they are lost and that they need to be saved. And then what an effort are put forth that they may be saved indeed. In themselves. Oh, in their reformation, necessary. We have never repented, congregation, if we do not know what that repentance is. That godly sorrow with tears be assured that you are none of His. Because when the Lord works, when He grants that uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, and He shows us the exceeding bitterness of sin, and that sin causes that separation that is more bitter than death, then such a seeking soul shall do everything that is in his power that he may be saved and that he may please the Lord. Then they come in the workhouse in themselves. Reformation, repentance, tears. They are sweet tears. Because when that takes place, then we are ruined for the world. Answers upon prayer. Providential deliverances. Our life declared in God's house. That people that are seeking, then their place shall never be empty in God's house. Of course, there can be lawful reasons. But then God's house, that becomes so lovely, lovely unto them. Then there are times that they may come to the courts of the Lord and that they may hear their life declared. When that life of a Ruth may be declared, how she may glean. Oh, it is true, it had to be threshed out. Then how happy that people is. Then they may receive courage. But of themselves, it cannot satisfy justice. What a difficult lesson to learn for that proud flesh. And not only in the beginning, that is a lesson that the child of God must continually learn. The church shall learn that it is free in sovereign grace. The church shall learn that to that perfect work of Jesus, nothing can be, nothing shall be, and nothing need be added. And therefore, the instructors have stressed, it was the joy of the instructors to point seeking souls to that only name that is given under heaven, whereby we may and we must be saved. And therefore, of themselves, or anywhere else. There can be different things that we are resting upon. Maybe times of convictions necessary. But congregation, if it remains with convictions, and sooner or later they ebb away, then we do well to examine ourselves. Whether it was only the calming working of the Spirit. Anywhere else it can be that a remarkable change has come in our life. Maybe from the world to the church, commendable, a blessing. When we may be brought under the truth. But cannot satisfy justice. Can be that we change generals. But we need to come under the banner of another king and congregation. Then we hear in this Lord's Day how honest and how discerning the instructors are. That in this Lord's Day, they are given to point those seeking souls to that precious name of Jesus. He is the only Savior. Not part, not most, but he is the perfect Savior. And therefore the instructors have said, they do not, for though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and savior. Thus, the instructors are given to speak of two things, of people that boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus. Then we think of the Arminians and the Remonstrants. And congregation, it can come so close. Because the Arminians, they were also given to speak of grace. They were also given to speak of Jesus, that he is an all-sufficient Savior, that he can save to the uttermost. Thus concerning the meriting of salvation, then they speak the truth. But now concerning the application, then the Arminian says that a seeking soul or even dead sinners, then they must cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. They tell us that a dead sinner has power to resist the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Thus then you hear the great difference. Then the Arminian, they actually portray Jesus as a weak Savior, that he is not able to subdue the enmity of the natural heart, the darkness that they are covered with, that a dead sinner can resist the grace of God, but that he has to cooperate, that he has to agree, that he has to accept. That is now the doctrine of the Arminian. Oh, it portrays Jesus as a weak Savior and fallen man with a certain strength. What a God is honoring doctrine. Oh, our instructors, they speak a different language. They are given to glorify God to the highest and man to the lowest. And now man by nature, he is an enemy of free and sovereign grace. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that teaches that it is so. Oh, concerning the despising of that salvation, it is so necessary that for God's people, that becomes their guilt. That they learn, oh, it is true. Those seeking souls, when they are trying so hard to please the Lord, but could be never to grieve him no more, never to disobey his law. But now those sinners, they must be shown and learn, and that they do not see when they are in the workhouse. Oh, when it may go a little well. Then those seeking souls, they are happy. Then they may have hope. And they may receive encouragement. But when it does not go so well, oh, then how sad. Then they sink fathoms. Sometimes they throw everything overboard. Not good, but they do. Because then it seems to become evident. And now there's the work of the Spirit to uncover them more and more, to make room for that precious name of Jesus. Jesus, sinners, he comes to save. And then by renewal, young and old, then I ask you, have you now become a real sinner in the sight of the Lord? Have you become the chiefest of sinners that you have thought, Lord, is there now one more upon the earth as I? And that does not mean young people and older ones that we have to be in bars and in dance halls and you can multiply it out. No. Oh, when the Lord uncovers Ezekiel 8, there we read, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Ah, then the true child of God. And that is now the work of the Holy Spirit with everything that they have experienced. That there is still a demanding justice by words, but also in deeds. Oh, we can understand when you have people, and there are many in our day, many people that speak of Jesus, the only Savior, but at their life, our boys and girls shall not be jealous. Then it cannot be seen. Then it cannot be seen. The tender fear of the Lord. Let us first sing. Psalter 161, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. And what follows, 161, 1, 3, 4, and 5. Jesus, the personal name of the mediator, a saving name, a despised name, and now thirdly, an only name. We have heard it out of Acts 4, after the lame man was healed, that Peter and John, they were called to give an account before their religious leaders. And then they have used that opportunity to proclaim that precious name of Jesus. And then in Acts 4, they have stressed, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And to that end, the instructors, they have stressed, the instructors, each time by renewal, then they were given to extol that one-sided work of free and sovereign grace, that Jesus is a complete Savior. Those were the solos of the Reformation, Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and to the Lord be all the honor and the glory. And therefore the instructors have said, for one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. O Jesus, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. The child of God is given to find everything in that precious name that is necessary to live and necessary to die. And now concerning that only name, then what a lessons that a child of God must learn and relearn each time by renewal. Martin Luther, he was on the way already many years, out of Romans in that tower. Then that precious name was made clear to him, a perfect and a precious Savior. But when he became older, he says, Martin Luther, if you would now cut him open, out would jump the Pope. We are so bound up in that covenant of works, and what a work the Holy Spirit has in the life of His people to continually learn that nothing, not even a sigh, one sigh had to be added to salvation. It would be eternally lost. Jesus, sinners, He came to save. And now the question by renewal, how is it with us and our children? Are there sinners in my midst, seeking sinners, hope, comforts, encouragements, but still with the burden of sin upon their back? Then the prophet Jeremiah has said, in Jeremiah 8, verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not healed? Are there such souls in my midst? Are there not precious invitations concerning that precious name? Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give thee rest. Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and none else. Then why have you not come, sinner? Oh, then I hear, of course, to come. Then that name needs to be revealed. Scriptures need to be opened. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But then those souls, they can have so many objections. Perhaps the one says, but have I now learned to know my sin deep enough? How deep must that knowledge now go? What do you think, soul? That knowledge must go so deep that we are given to despair of everything that is of self, that we learn that we must go lost. No hope in self. Oh, when other one says, but am I now humble and unworthy enough? Oh, soul, do you not really think that you shall ever become humble enough and that that shall be a reason that you shall be saved? No, it can never be. Then another one maybe says, but may I come? We have mentioned those invitations. Maybe another one afraid that you shall be sent away. Then do as in Esther, when she has come, and that she has said in Esther 4, verse 16, so I will go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. Oh, better to die at the feet of the king than to die elsewhere. Oh, what an examples we have in the scripture. So tell me then, can you now find one example in the Bible of a poor sinner that has come to Jesus and that was sent away? Oh, what an examples we have. Think of that woman with the issue of blood. Went to many doctors, despised name, her money gone, her condition worse. And then we read in Mark 5, and when she heard of Jesus, then she was given to think, if I may but touch the hem of his garment secretly, no one would realize it, then I should be whole. And tell me, what was the outcome? Perfectly healed. Oh, think of that Ethiopian on that way, that desert way going to Gaza, so troubled. Oh, he had expected it to find in Jerusalem and in religion, but he has not found it, but he had the prophet Isaiah. And then he received an interpreter, speakest he of himself or of another? And then we read in Acts 8, verse 35, and he preached unto him Jesus. Oh, as that perfect, that suitable, that perfect Savior that can save to the uttermost. Ah, may it please the Holy Spirit to uncover to our need that we may become sinners indeed. Then we shall become seekers, and those true seekers, they shall all become finders. Congregation, we hope to come together on Wednesday evening for a Thanksgiving service to acknowledge the Lord that he has brought us hitherto. Not such an easy time behind. Consistory, congregation, family, and school, you can multiply it out. But we have been brought hitherto, and to that end, I hope that there shall not be one place in God's house unlawfully empty, and that the Lord may grant an hour together, oh, with a confession of our sin, an impression of his goodness, and a prayer that this precious name, that it may be exalted amongst us and our children, Jesus, sinners he has come to save, young and old. Have you now become the sinner? Oh, when we have never become the sinner, may that take place while we are in the day of grace. and where the Lord has begun. Those sinners, they have to learn that we can never be saved by our works, but only through that precious name of Jesus. And I read in 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and yet given a few words to speak, and who was able to exalt the precious name of Jesus to its fullest extent. But, Lord, may it please thee to grant the application, and may in this hour, may there have been seekers added to those that are given to seek thee in truth and sincerity. But, Lord, for those seeking souls, that they may be given to cast a glimpse upon the serpent, the brazen serpent upon the pole, because it is written in thy word, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We may commence another week. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may graciously watch over us in the home, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, also on the farm with the harvesting of the crops. Wilt thou remember further the needs in the realm of nature. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. And, Lord, bring us together within the walls of thy house, it may and it can yet. And wilt thou grant, a humble and a broken heart, with a confession of our sins, Lord, grant a prayer for one another. Wilt thou dismiss us in thy favor, bring us safely to our dwellings, pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.